This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us for the first program of 2020. We're talking with the Montour County Commissioners today to see what the year might hold for them. And we'll look at the past year and some of the things that have been tackled and what's coming up to be tackled in the new year. Thank you for joining us, gentlemen. Trevor Finn with us today and Ken Holdren, along with Dan Hartman. We appreciate you being part of our program. Let's begin by finding out why you're back. You've all just been reelected. We'll begin with Commissioner Finn. Your fifth term now you're starting. What keeps you coming back?
It just always seems like there's more work to do. We were in the middle of so many projects, and we need to oversee these projects and bring them to fruition. So I decided to run one last time. This will be my last time. I'm saying it first publicly on your show.
For the other two of you coming back for a second term, now, initially, Ken, you weren't necessarily planning to and said you would then?
That's correct, Matt. Again, it's similar, very similar to Trevor. It's like I thought there were just too many things that were in the midst of being great things for this county, and I wanted to see them through to fruition. I, like Trevor, will go on record today that this will be my last term as well. I think two terms are enough. So we got a lot we're going to get accomplished in this next term, and at the end of it, I think we're going to have a lot of great things to look back on.
Well, I think that the first term is almost like a residency program. You kind of thrown into the river, and now you got to swim. And so learned a lot, still need to learn a lot. But I think that would like to, as the other gentleman said, continue what we've started. And you know, kind of hate to leave it in the middle. We've got so many projects going on, and I think we all have a better handle after being there a term or four. How things work and how to get some things done.
Before we get into some of the things that you're looking to work on as far as in the new year and the next several years, let's talk about the year just ending and the budget plan there. I think I've been doing this for 30 years, and it doesn't seem like Montour County that often has had a tax increase, but occasionally it's something that it comes to that. What brought you to that this time around? What brought you to the absolute necessity to hike it up a little?
All three of us take very seriously our fiscal responsibility to the citizens of this county, and we would have loved, nothing better than to have been able to put a budget in place for next year that did not include a tax increase. Unfortunately, there were some circumstances that present themselves that we know we've got to account for, and we've got to be fiscally prudent for the county and its citizens. One is a murder case. We know that there will be a murder case. The district attorney asked for an additional $50,000 for her budget. The courts asked for an additional $50,000 for their budget. And we know there will be public defender costs. So we set aside an additional $50,000 of miscellaneous, that will be needed when we go to trial for the murder case in the coming year. So there's $150,000 of one-time costs that we could not have foreseen. The second thing is that even though in this past year our pension plan had a great year of performance, the issue is the previous year had the hit at the end of December that took all everybody's returns, including my personal IRAs and I'm sure everyone else's, down. And when you deal with an actuary does a three-year, five-year rolling average, and last year's, the 2018 experience, drove down the interest earnings assumption, which then in turn means that we have to do a higher contribution to make sure that the plan continues to be fully funded. That additional contribution for the coming year is $90,000 higher than what it was a year ago. So fundamentally, we've got $240,000 of costs that are outside of our control. We did enact a balanced budget. We did do the tentative budget approval at our last public meeting. We will approve the final budget at our meeting on the 31st. Included in that budget is a 0.18 mil increase. That will yield approximately, help me guys,
220,000.
So if you think about it, we increased taxes by not even enough to cover the two things I just described. On top of that, we did a 3% increase for all of our employees except for the commissioners. A year ago, we voted not to accept the raise in 2020 because of having to increase taxes a year ago. Everyone else will receive a 3% increase. Like any other household budget, there's inflation. Our health insurance went up 5%. All other costs, you know, we're expecting to grow. But we've got to say on this show publicly that our department heads and our elected officials work well with us. And they, as well as us, look for saving every single dime we can so that we don't end up, you know, putting a bigger burden on our taxpayers. So we're proud to say that we approved a budget with a 0.18 mil increase when you think about all these things that went into it. On the personnel front, we are making a couple changes next year. In the coroner's office, we continue to see an increase in their caseload. So we are adding another deputy coroner as part of the coroner's budget for next year. We look at positions and we look at opportunities. There was a full-time position in the tax assessment office, a part-time position in the treasurer's office that we talked to our chief assessor and our treasurer and looked at, was there a way to combine these two positions? And if we shared the position, where would we be able to reduce that staffing? And we did. So we eliminated a part-time position between those two departments. Similarly, we looked at a way, you know, unfortunately, you know, we had the passing of Bill Dickerson that was unexpected. So we looked at how could zoning services be provided in maybe a different approach. And so we had some ideas, and they're not completely resolved yet, but we believe that will result in some additional savings for the county as well. So as I described, you know, we look at everything. And I think the final thing that I do want to mention is we also recognize where we haven't been providing the services to our constituents that are provided in other counties. One in this area is in GIS services. As we've done the 911 merger, we've seen what Tim Murphy and the GIS department in Columbia County is able to provide. And we see that as a real benefit for our citizens and for our realtors. And so we agreed to expand the GIS services provided from Columbia County to Montour County. That had a price tag of approximately $37,000. But it was something that we thought it was time to make that investment. So again, you know, we try to look at everything from all angles.
Well, I think more importantly, and Trevor can speak to this, is what the GIS service will help with first responders.
What we'll be able to do is we'll be able to, on our smartphone device, our computer, or our iPad, in our apparatus or squad car, be able to see real-time the CAD system at the 911 center. Right now, the first responders are still either depending upon maps in their apparatus, their knowledge of the area, or GPS, and now they'll be able to use the GIS mapping to actually find where you are.
One more thing that is affecting our budget is the sheriff is requesting a new vehicle to replace one that's been well used.
2008 with over 130,000 miles on it.
Let's talk about the roads, the bridges.
The Foggy Mountain Road Bridge was previously Fairview Drive, but the road was changed to Foggy Mountain. And there's a bridge that was wiped out in the August of 2018 flooding. What's in Anthony Township? It's off of 44. That road sort of connects the Muncie Exchange Highway, and it's a bus route. Actually, we had a little problem with a fire out there. It delayed the fire company getting to a house. We've been jumping through some hoops with PEMA and FEMA to get funding, and we have successfully obtained that. FEMA will pay, I believe it's 75%, and PEMA would pay about 20%. So the funding will be there. We expect to send out an RFP, probably not until February, the reason being that when you get the construction companies to bid, their own bids are only good for about 60 days. We expect to award that bid probably in March or so, and we're hoping that construction starts shortly thereafter.
The voting machines, all the counties have been required to leave this paper trail, and where does that stand in Montour County? Folks might recall from our news a few weeks ago, there was word of one of the counties suing. Where does Montour County stand?
The governor is forcing the issue. The legislature and the governor are going back and forth on how it gets paid for. I think they've come to a solution right now. The problem is that we already have a voter verifiable paper trail in our voting machines. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. They work perfectly fine. We talked to the vendor. The vendor is still using those machines in other states. The vendor is not decertifying them. It's the state that's decertifying them. And we reached out to the Department of State and asked them, why are you doing this? And they blamed it on the vendor. The vendor's blaming it on the state. So I'm going to be quite frank. Somebody's lying to us. I don't like it. We're wasting taxpayer money by doing this. But the alternative is we don't do it. We can't have an election, or we spend all kinds of monies on legal fees. So it'll be cheaper for us in the long run to actually get these voting machines. I support the majority commissioners in getting the new paper ballot voting machines. That being said, I wanted to go on record as opposing the concept.
And Matt, just to clarify a little here, the total cost for the county is $175,000. At this point, the state is only funding 60%, and there is an additional $20,000 that is being funded out of federal dollars. So again, we have a shortfall. We have an unfunded mandate from the state to replace our election machines that results in us as county commissioners using taxpayer dollars to fund an unfunded mandate.
And one that we, I think I can speak for all three of us, feel is unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Our hand is forced.
The other expansion, moving of some of the county offices to this new facility. Talk a bit about that, what we might see in 2020.
Sure. So we did advertise for bid for the, we're going to call it, I guess, the County Annex building.
County Annex.
What we're doing is we're moving all the county administrative offices, everything that fits underneath the auspices of the county commissioner, down to the former Danville Elementary School building. And everything of a judicial nature, we're moving into the courthouse. Obviously, we're going to keep the jail, and we're going to keep our emergency management agency building. Other than that, we want to sell off the properties, and we believe that by selling off the rest of the properties, we'll be able to pay down the debt we incurred by purchasing the elementary school building and all the remodeling. When we're done with this remodeling, we should have a 21st century jail that meets all the Department of Correction standards and is safe for our employees and the citizens and is secure. That's the most important part. We should have a judicial center that is functional. Right now, the district judge's office is really not functional, and we need to bring that up to compliance with the AOPC. And then one-stop shopping for everybody else that needs to do zoning or planning or come to the Veterans Affairs or Children and Youth or, you know, voter registration,
dog licenses,
everything else that falls outside of the realm of the judiciary, they'll be able to use that building. We are going to invest in the infrastructure of our facilities. We're putting a new boiler in the courthouse. We're going to put all new windows in the courthouse, new ramp out back, new facade out front. These are projects that the commissioners have been putting off because they're very, very expensive projects. We've been doing smaller projects all throughout my tenure as a commissioner. This time we can get everything done with one large capital investment. Well, I got to tell you, the thought process behind this was one of the things we kept looking at was it became more and more and more expensive to run county government. And one of the things that we were looking at is our maintenance costs and these old buildings that just weren't up to snuff. And we thought, you know, let's get a professional to look at this and give us a pro forma to see what would happen if we move things around. And when we talked about the elementary school building, how much we wanted to spend, it looks like we could save approximately $100,000 a year on operational costs by moving. So, you know, besides it being better for the public, one-stop shopping, it's also down the line should save quite a bit of money.
I think one thing to add to that, Matt, is we've got valuable property right now in Woodbine Lane that, as you know, everyone is aware, has seen significant development over the years. And we believe that we're going to be able to take our properties, again, exclusive of the 911 Center. The 911 Center will stay where it is because of a number of reasons, including the cost of what it would have cost to move that equipment would far exceed the benefit of moving it. But properties that we have on Woodbine Lane, when we put those back on the market, we believe that instead of being, you know, tax exempt as a county-owned building, they're going to become taxable properties and they're going to employ more people. So we've already had a number of parties interested approach us about when are we going to put that on the market. And obviously we've deferred anything at this point because, you know, we need to have the RFP process, we need to get the bids back and have a construction timeline. Once we're in that position, then we'll be able to firm up our plans in terms of when we might put those properties on the market. So there already is a lot of interest, Matt. So we believe that our plan will come together.
One other big topic in the past year or so has been the emergency radios. Ken, can you give us an update on that whole situation, along with a background of, you know, where you've come and where you're headed?
Approximately a year and a half ago, August of 18, actually sooner, you know, before that in June, our previous ESEN emergency director, Fred Hutchinson, resigned. And we did a search and we appointed Brian Puffneck. And Brian had previous experience with Northumberland County, and I think a number of us have heard about the issues that they encountered, spent $15 million and still didn't have functional what they needed and where they needed to be. Brian came in as our director, and he spent time assessing where we were in terms of the center itself, in terms of our towers, in terms of our emergency responders and equipment they had available. And he came to the ESEN board with a proposal. And, you know, we could have done things on our own, which had a $10 million estimated price tag. We could have joined another county, which we knew Northumberland was struggling. We knew Schuylkill was struggling. Union Snyder was just in their early stages. But Brian did identify PA StarNet. PA StarNet is the state police system. And they had already invested a lot across the northern tier of the state in improving communication and investing in towers, et cetera. And they turned out to be the best partner we could possibly have. By moving, we entered into an agreement to do a joint operating agreement with PA StarNet. And as a result of that, PA StarNet will share in the in the building out of our tower network, as well as they will take the cost of maintaining these towers on a go-forward basis. So that relieves the two counties' 911 center, ESEN, of maintaining the towers. So when everything was set, and at the same time, we entered into discussion with Motorola as being the potential vendor for updating equipment. So one of the things that we found out with the new director was that our consoles are end of life. Another thing we found out is the radios we purchased on the previous director's recommendation ended up getting end-of-life notification a month after the radios were purchased and provided to our emergency responders. So we looked at what's the right thing to do, and it's the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan is to update the consoles at the center, improve our towers, probably add two towers, and improve a number of other towers, and then look at what should the standard equipment be for emergency responders in our two counties. And the decision was made to move to the P25 radios, which have the digital requirements that will be mandatory. And it also provides easy access to the state police and ability to communicate with the state police. When we looked at the total price tag for the center was approximately $3.2 million versus the original $10 million. Montours County's share of that 3.2 is about 21%, and we believe we've got enough reserves on hand in our 911 funds to cover our share of that cost. On the radio side, replacing and upgrading all the radios, we entered into discussions with Motorola, and we negotiated hard, and we got a great deal. We've got a 10-year master lease whereby the county purchasing the lease, we were able to get a very favorable interest rate at a little over 3%, which back in August before the Fed lowered rates twice was the best rate on the market. We also got terms that Motorola gave our emergency responders dollar for dollar credit for whatever they purchased in the previous radios, even though they were already end of life. That credit amounted to over $180,000. In addition, Motorola agreed that whatever we could raise in funds and pay on the first anniversary would stop the interest accrual, and basically the responders would own, you know, the radios. So when you break down the cost, the total cost is about $920,000. Of that, about $435,000 is supplying the fire companies. About $160,000 is for the county agencies like sheriff, parole, prison, EMA, and coroner. And so what we embarked on was a plan that we entered into 10-year leases with the individual entities, meaning the individual fire companies and the municipalities for police. And so the police, the municipalities are going to be responsible for the police radios, which is probably the third piece of that. And our goal, we promised the volunteer fire companies, is that we would try to raise at least half of the cost, their cost, which equated to a little over $200,000. So what our goal is to not use taxpayer dollars to fund these radios in any way, which means that we would have to raise a little over $400,000. I'm pleased to say at this point, we have already have commitments for over $380,000, and we have three grant applications that we will hear from early in the new year that we believe will go a long ways towards getting us over that 400,000 threshold. The goal was to get to the 400 to not have any taxpayer dollars. The home run, as I described it, would be to get to 600, so none of the volunteer fire companies have to use any of their precious funds. Cross our fingers, Matt, hopefully we can get to the 600, but we know that we can say with complete confidence today that there will be no taxpayer dollars used to fund these radio purchases.
That concludes today's WPGM Community Forum with the Montour County Commissioners. Thanks for joining us. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.